It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and now we reflect on the powerful earthquakes that have killed tens of thousands of people in Turkey and Syria this month. As survivors in the region, they fear for their lives in ruined cities with aftershocks. Call in with questions, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Emre Bozer is a graduate student at UW-Madison and a member of the Madison Association of Turkish Students. Emre, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
How are your family and friends in Turkey doing after the quakes?
My family lives in the north part of Turkey, so I can say they are safe physically, but like emotionally and mostly like psychologically, everybody has been affected by the disaster. My friends, I have a couple of friends living in the destructed area. Some of them just left for their hometown. Some of them just cannot because the area is their hometown. I have a lot of friends who've been severely affected by the earthquakes.
Some of us, myself included, only know Turkey through what we know of the capital, Istanbul, a mega city. Can you talk about the cities that have been hit and bring us closer to them and what they're like, what they're known for?
Yeah, so the capital is Ankara in the middle of Turkey. Istanbul is like a major city. It's a big city, the biggest city. Neither Istanbul or Ankara, like not affected by the, physically not affected by the earthquakes. Southeastern part of Turkey, we can say, like physically destructed. We can talk about 6 or 11 cities that have been destructed and also have like a lot of people died because of the earthquake. This is especially the city I can speak for is Hatay. It has pretty much like the historic value. It is also known as the home of the civilizations, and pretty much multicultural and multilingual, and that many buildings and also like people's histories have been destructed there. So I'm so sorry for that.
What do your friends do there, and what is their livelihood in those cities that have been ruined?
I've been in a constant contact with my friends since it happened. So what I can say is most of them still live in tents, and then they can't go back in their homes because either they're, you know, basically collapsed, or even though let's say their buildings still stand, they're not sure if they're like safe to go in. So they're still waiting for the authorities to just make sure like they confirm those are actual like livable buildings. So life there, I guess the hygiene and access to, let's say, very basic human rights, including like toilets, including like food, has been a problem still. This is like the third week of the earthquake, but there are still problems that we might not think a problem like from far away, but actually food and hygiene and also security is still a big problem in that area.
If they're living in tents, I mean, they have to find food and water and toiletries elsewhere. Are there any those types of sheltering areas nearby?
As far as I know, again, I can't speak for like each and every city because we can say like 10 or 11 cities have been destructed, I guess. But like the ones that I can get some information from, I can say through donations and like from the NGOs and governments, you know, efforts. We have some places to, you know, get food from, get those like any items from, but still we can't say it is enough because I think it's going to be the help needed for this area is going to be in for an extended period of time because many of the cities, people talk about, let's say 75-80% of the building collapsed, meaning it looks like a big failed construction area, you know, like it's not safe, not clean, and also it's like impossible to get like many of the most needed like human rights. So it's a big disaster.
It seems everyone has their phones close by or is on a phone. How long was it before you were able to get in touch with your loved ones to learn that they were okay?
Surprisingly, it was really quick.
Huh.
So, the first earthquake, yeah, I just want to talk about that as well. Like, it's not just a single earthquake, but for now, let me just say the first big earthquake, which is 7.8 magnitude, occurred in Turkey time 4:17 a.m. So like it's early in the morning, you know, like usually people sleep in that time. So it was in Wisconsin time, something like 7 p.m. or something. So I was having dinner with my wife in our home. So I just got an email, not an email, a WhatsApp message on my smartphone. And so it was saying Marash 7.4. So Marash is one of the cities. And then, yeah, so I don't have any friends in Marash. So what's the deal with that? And then what is this 7.4? I just checked on the computer and I saw the earthquakes. And then the message actually came from one of my friends, actually, so living in Antakya, in Hatay, one of the most destructed cities. So she sent a couple of messages. Also, another friend of mine in the same WhatsApp group said like, I'm safe. The other said, I'm safe, but they're not sure if the, you know, house is about to collapse or even collapse. They are just one of the, you know, like one of the floors they still stand. So it was almost a couple of minutes later that the disaster happened.
Wow. And you were starting to able to piece it together from far away. Emre Bozer, a doctoral student studying multilingualism at UW-Madison, member of the Madison Association of Turkish Students. Still time to bring up your questions about these quakes, your comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A Wisconsin voice draws us closer to the disaster in southeastern Turkey along the Syrian border, devastated by twin earthquakes this month and bracing for more aftershocks. Call in with your questions about the quakes, how to help survivors, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. UW-Madison doctoral student Emre Bozer is from Turkey and is sharing his story. Emre, you've been helping send supplies to Turkey through your work with the Madison Association of Turkish Students. What have you been able to supply?
Mostly the first 2 weeks. I mean, what we try to gather donations in the first week and now kind of differs because of like the, you know, the most needed things may change. So the thing is, we got a lot of clothing. We got a lot of hygiene items, a lot of like baby items, and now we've been expecting mostly like tents, blankets, sleeping bags that can be used in the longer term. Especially heaters. So these are mostly the things that we're trying to gather for now.
How have you gotten the supplies there?
The day it happened, I think we tried to, you know, get together both physically and emotionally as like Turkish community in Madison. So within 26 hours, actually, we just got together and then sent our first truck to Chicago, the embassy, so that the truck can actually go to the most needed areas in Turkey. So it just started with a simple email, and then people just contributed. Not just Turkish people, but also American people, also international community in Madison. So it started with just a simple email, and then people just started helping us out.
Do you know what items are most in need right now?
Yeah, most in need items are not clothing, I guess, but it is also on our like Twitter and Instagram. If for people like who might consider donating, should check. It's always like changing. It is like tents, blankets, sleeping bags, mats, and camp beds, let's say. So these are like generators, heaters, like portable shelters if possible. So the items can be kind of like used as in a shelter and then used for like protection in the long run.
I was reading about the role of lentil soup and tea in feeding survivors in shelters, and what is considered comforting to survivors now. Can you talk about what might be some comforts to people who have lost everything?
That's a difficult question, actually. I don't know. You know, people, I think, yeah, for now, people have been affected like emotionally and like physically. And I think like the most basic needs, like human rights, you know, basic human rights that people can't access right now. I think it's a big problem. And then at least getting access to those like hygiene products, getting access to those, let's say, simple protection products, like heating, might feel people like going back to normal. I don't want to say normal, but at least like just getting out of this, you know, disaster mood. Because, you know, you can't get out of this mood, like, if you can have access to food, if you can have access to, you know, let's say, toilet products. So it makes it really difficult, I guess, for those people to just, you know, get through this.
You bring up human rights, and I'm wondering, could the American government and its allies around the world provide better aid to people affected by the earthquakes?
So, you know, I'm not an expert of this, like, field, kind of, like, this is just my, like, impression from media and my friends. So, as far as I know, Turkey declared a fourth level emergency status. And then soon after that, I think we have over 100 countries tried to help in any way they could. I think U.S. is one of them. I remember one U.S. rescue team in the most affected, disrupted areas. I don't know much about like donations between or like the any sort of help between these two countries. But I know we also, among many other countries, we also have like U.S. rescue teams in Turkey. Yeah.
Emery Bozer is a graduate student at UW-Madison, a member of the Madison Association of Turkish Students. You can join in the conversation about the quakes and what comes up for you at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Emery, what are the best ways for people in Wisconsin to help?
I think one thing, if they are considering like donating financially, so as MATS, Madison Association of Turkish Students, we share the QR code for Turkish philanthropy fundraising. This is the money goes directly to nonprofit, institutions, and then go to most needed areas. If they consider donating like kind of items, I think they should be, you know, following us or either Twitter or Instagram just to see, you know, what is most needed. And we also have our like drop-off locations. We always have on-campus and off-campus drop-off locations. So we have we got support from like local cafe shops, you know, or like restaurants, some places, not only in Madison, but also like kind of neighboring places in Madison have their drop-off locations. You could just walk in and then drop your donation. So we at some interviews we go and then just take those donations and then package, like doing the packing together and then send it to the Chicago. Yeah.
What do you hope people learn from the response to this tragedy?
So it is a very, very natural, you know, disaster. It could happen to like anyone, not just, you know, like earthquake is something all about like geography, and it is not that likely to have earthquake, let's say, in Wisconsin. So it might be kind of hard to, you know, understand, you know, it's not something we get to, you know, experience in this area. But you could travel and you could be like just one of those people. I think it shows how, like, especially like the stories we hear from the area shows like how natural disasters could catch anyone, and then we should be all prepared for it. And I think donating or like just being there supporting people is just one way to help people get through it.
I understand you'll be visiting Turkey later this spring. What do you hope to do while you're there?
So it's going to be a very short break actually for me and my wife. It's just actually it's just a regular visit to Turkey. So I don't know, time will show us. We are just planning to actually see our families for now. They both live in unaffected cities, but I also have like very fr many friends in those destructive areas. So depending on the situation, then we can just go to the area and then try to be of help as much as we can.
In our last few moments together, I just want to bring up politics for a moment, as President Erdogan has faced criticism for the crumbling buildings and for, construction codes and things like that. Do you think that that is having an impact, on the upcoming election?
That's a big issue right now. So especially the Erdogan side, is sort of trying to like to postpone the elections, and then they try to make it, like this is a natural disaster and let's have the elections in later. But the thing is, from the public folks and like the opposition parties, is like it should be done like as soon as possible, because this is also kind of part of a failure of like responsibilities, and we may need a change, and then that change might take care of what just happened.
Emory, thank you for joining us. Emory Bozer, doctoral student at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.